fitness is an honor. Training and moving is an honor. And fitness should be done for health reasons. It should be done because you honor your body. You know, it should have a purpose behind it rather than that purpose be to punish your body.
Hello and welcome back to Red Lips and High Kicks with your host, Lydia Holt. Today I am talking to dancer, mother and Nike master trainer, Alex Hipwell. I've had the pleasure of working and being coached by Alex over the last 6 months, and I can say she is nothing but sunshine. She is tough, but very kind, real and so passionate, and her energy could make me do a million burpees. It would hurt, but she could get me there. I really wanted to create an episode with a qualified fitness and nutritional expert, someone who understands dancers' fitness as well though, and Alex is the perfect person for this because she has had experience in both worlds, which makes her insight even more accurate and even more valuable. I asked Alex all the common fitness questions, including dealing with injury and learning how to fuel ourselves, but we also get into the more sensitive subjects, like learning to rebuild our often toxic relationship with diet and exercise as dancers. It is a really, really heartfelt episode. Surprisingly so, it really got to me and Alex too, and I can't thank her enough for being so raw and open with me. It really demonstrated the importance of sharing in the dance world. We just don't do it enough and we suffer in silence, too afraid to ask for help. But it's only when we do reach out and get proper advice from qualified individuals like Alex that we can reach our full potential and really learn to feel at home in our own skin. This will be my last episode of season 3, unfortunately. Each season gets more love and more listens, and the continued support blows me away. I am always so grateful. Thank you so much. But this is my side hustle after all, and my real work is getting heavier and heavier at the moment. So in order to keep delivering you the quality of episodes I want to, I'm going to have to take a short break. In the meantime, of course, catch up on old episodes and follow us on Instagram. Have a great day and stay excellent. Hello, Alex. Thank you so much for joining me. I am so excited to see your face again and to have you on the podcast.
I'm really honoured. Thank you so much for having me.
And for all the listeners, Alex has been training us at work for like 6 months now, 7 months. I love you, but you know, you can be tough. There was a few, you know, walking home feeling like I wasn't going to make it.
Good. I'm glad.
Right. And to kick off, I would like to hear your most important rejection and your favorite applause, please.
Okay. My most important rejection would have to be when I created a women's fitness retreat called Shishi from a lot of pain. This retreat was created from It was born from pain. You've got me going already. And I never wanted women to ever feel or go through what I had been through, and to never ever feel that they weren't good enough and they weren't worth enough. And I created from my platform, or my reach is fitness and nutrition. So I thought, okay, I'm going to create a fitness retreat where we come together and I just remind them how amazing they are. And by doing that, we can eat healthy and we can train, and all of those things make you feel good. And from there, it just snowballed into the most incredible experience. And that was taken from me in a second from a bad business. Well, it wasn't even a bad business decision, but it broke my heart, and it literally, it fell through my fingers like sand. And I remember falling to the floor on my knees in tears as I read an email where someone had told me, the business partner had told me that they had created the business or the company without my name involved, and that I was just a freelance trainer, that my services were no longer needed. And I felt that someone had ripped my soul out and stood on it. I couldn't breathe. I felt rejected. I felt stupid. I felt lost. I felt all of this pain that I still feel when I speak now. But from that, a phoenix has come. And I swear to you, that rejection is such a beautiful teacher. And I will always thank her. I will whisper I will not tell her this, but I thank her because what I've created on my own, because I think it was always, I never thought I was good enough to do something on my own. And that's what this came, this greatest rejection taught me, that I am capable to do something on my own, and I trust myself and I will never backstab myself. So as painful as that is even to talk about it now, and puts a lump in my throat and tears in my eyes, my greatest rejection has taught me a lot. My favorite was applause. Oh, when I popped out that little boy, Jack. That little dude, and I held him on my chest, and I could not believe that that was when my superpowers actually came out as a human. I saw for the first time that I was a superhero.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. And I think, you know, that experience of that rejection, it sounds awful. I can only imagine. But I think what you speak upon at that, having that moment of having to look to yourself and go, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to build myself up so this doesn't happen again. And I think so many people have experienced that on so many different levels. And I think particularly as dancers, when you are faced with rejections from outside sources. And I think that moment of looking inwards and going, actually, you know what, I am capable. I think so many women can relate with that. It's a scary moment, but like you've just said, it borns and it breeds the most amazing things afterwards, because it's from rock bottom, you know, that's where the best things are made.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what happens is, you know, as you just mentioned, for dancers, we need to be more aware of how to approach rejection, because if you're a freelance dancer or you're auditioning, you are faced with rejection on a daily basis, and you cannot take that personally, because you have to walk out of that audition room, and maybe it's your 10th audition, but you need to walk out and you need to self-reflect and go, so what, now what? Yet I wish I knew this when I was, you know, traveling the world as a dancer and auditioning for everything along with, you know, 2,000 other people. I wish I could walk out of that room and have the knowledge of, so what, now what? So unfortunately I didn't, but I do have the knowledge to give to you guys now, and also to all the mind fitness athletes that I work with. So I work with athletes and dancers and all types on mind fitness, which is like mindset, but I think your brain is something that you need to work on. So I call it mind fitness. And it's that, so what, now what?
Yeah, I love that. I
think that is a beautiful statement. Yeah.
No, and we all need that. And it's hard because you get beaten down. You get beaten down. And I think especially in dance, when it's your passion, it's who you are. You put your blood, sweat, and tears. It's literally your face, your body that's being rejected. And of course it's hard not to take it personally. It's completely okay to take it personally. But like you've just said, it's about it not defining you and moving on and going, so what, now what? And I think it's a tough pill to swallow, but it needs to be trained. It needs to be taught and retaught and reminded of.
Yeah. And I think self-reflection is a big thing. And not being afraid to ask, know your place and know when the time is right to say, okay, I'm getting knocked back a lot here. What can I do? So that's so what, now what comes into. Do I need to go back and start taking some classes? Is it what I'm wearing? Have that positive self-reflection to yourself. And that comes down to everyday life as well. And to, you know, even every relationship I've that they've broken up with me or whatever it is. And you have to look at it and be like, okay, what can I do better for myself? Not to change, but what can I do better to bring to the table next time? You know, is there something that I could have learned from that particular situation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's great. And we've talked about it now, there is your experience as a dancer, but can you kind of tell us that transition for you? I think dance is great, and it prepares you for so many things that you don't even know. And I think it's always so refreshing to hear of people who took dance and made themselves and actually found their true calling through dance. So can you tell us how it happened for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was actually a very, very talented athlete as a child, not in dance. I was a very, really good swimmer and netball player, and offered scholarships and all that kind of wonderful things. And I did dance as a hobby on the side. I used to do jazz ballet and tap, and I was awful. I was awful. I was just an awful dancer. Absolutely loved it. Like, just because I'm very, you know, I'm a Leo. I like to be the center of attention. I like to talk. I like to be a part of things, not in a vain way, but really, like, I, you know, if there's something that I'm interested in and something that I feel that I can bring value to the table, I would like to be a part of that conversation.
And
I am loud. And so I think that's where I could really express my, you know, express who I was as a girl. And so as I kind of hit puberty, I had to kind of decide what sports I wanted to do. And I was like, I want to be a dancer. And my mum and dad were like, sorry, what? Like, you know, you've been offered scholarships. You're an Iron Woman. You're doing this. And I was like, oh, I want to be a dancer. So I started competing and just like awful. I would forget everything on stage. But my mother really found the right school for me and the right teachers. And I worked my ass off. Like, I worked so hard, and I had an aspiration to be in a particular dance. You know, what I wanted to be was very clear. I actually wanted to be a contemporary dancer. So my goal was then, you know, Chunky Move was the company I wanted to be in. And I wanted to go to a particular school to get there and all of these wonderful things. And so I auditioned for everything and I got into everything. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, screw contemporary. I just got into performing arts. I'm going to go and be a performing arts. You know, I can't sing and I can't do any of those things, but whatever. Went to an amazing school for musical theatre and studied dance and dance history, and just incredible. And my first gig actually was a video clip and touring with Human Nature, which is like a boy band from Australia. Cool. And I just kind of, I then broke my leg. And as a dancer, that's like the worst thing that can happen, because everyone says to you, it's not a real job. What are you going to do when you get older? You know, all of this stuff. What if you break your leg? It's kind of like a running gag.
Yeah.
So when I broke my leg, I felt everything fall from under me. And, you know, everyone graduated past me and I went home, and then I started working in nightclubs and bars, and kind of 6 months down, I was, you know, a bit of a night owl. And I thought, I remember waking up just going, what am I doing? And called my friends who had all traveled from college to Germany doing Starlight Express and Cats. And I said, what are you doing? And they were like, what are you doing? I was like, I don't know. And they're like, come over here. Packed my stuff up, moved to Germany with a backpack. God knows why. Landed in Cologne, 4th of February, 2002, and was drinking a coffee, got offered a job, never looked back. And I literally traveled the world from that day as a professional dancer. And I had like maybe a week off in between jobs for years. I was so fortunate to just live the most incredible life with the most amazing humans, creating myself every day through so many different experiences, traveling, you know, getting to work in many different countries, moving into choreography, which I never thought, you know, I would do. Of course, that's where I, you know, started choreographing the Friedrichstadtpalast. It was, I followed my heart. And that's what you said before. Dance is a passion. And we are so lucky to have the opportunity to be paid to do something that we love. And that has been ingrained in me since I was 13 when I made the decision, because it doesn't matter what job I do now. If it's not a fuck yes, then I don't do it. It has nothing to do with the money, because the money will come. I have to enjoy what I do and I have to be passionate. And that comes from my dance career.
Oh, I just love that. And everything you said, I could not agree more with. Like, it is an honor to be just surrounded by the things you love, the people you love, and to create art. It's a privilege. And I think, you know, if the world was taken away from us tomorrow, to have spent my years creating something just for enjoyment. And the, like you said, you create yourself through creating it. And it is the most beautiful life. And I think it's so important also to be reminded of that, because, and I'm sure you'll know, and I'm in it right now, is that sort of when you have a few shit days and just can't get your head around it, and you're getting obsessed over something that does not need to be obsessed about. But for you, it's like the thing that you want and the thing that you need. And I think when you say it, like you've just said, the simplicity of it is you love it and you get to do it, and it's an honor. And I think it is so important to be reminded of that when you forget.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And And I'm interested to know as well, from as you moved into fitness, were there things that as a dancer you were actually prepared for and you kind of found easier and you knew a lot about? And also, were there things that you then wish you'd known when you were a dancer that you learned as you became a trainer?
Absolutely. Great question. Okay. So as I kind of organically transitioned into the fitness world, towards the end of my career, I wanted to know more about my body. So, you know, as a dancer, we're very, very tolerant and we just push through. I had an awful diet. I think I was living on 800 calories a day, packet of cigarettes, black coffee. If I needed to lose a bit of weight, I just starved myself. And how I survived, I don't know. But of course, injuries then show the forefront of how bad your nutrition is, right? But, you know, on your face, you're fabulous. And who cares if you're hungry as long as you look, you know, snatched and thin and oh. There was no other education given to us. And therefore, all we knew was dance the diet, which is what I call the ozone diet, which is fresh air. And and I wanted to know more. So I decided to study fitness and nutrition just on the side for myself. So I used to do it in the evenings. And to my surprise, I found something that was passionate about. And I could not get enough of this information. It was so awesome. Every evening I looked forward to just learning with the group. Then I flew to Spain for 6 weeks and just did an intensive course with the whole company. And I just wanted more and more. I couldn't get enough. And all of a sudden I started to realize that I had never honored my body, not once. And here I was thinking that I was, the way that I was dancing on stage and the art that I was creating was honoring my body by moving, which was an absolute load of crap. Because if my body could speak, it would have just cried. And that's so sad. But on the other side, it gives me so much fuel and energy in the situation and the place that I'm in now to actually do something and help all of you and remind you, as I do every day in class, that you are a professional athlete. So you need to start to act like one. And that's where I come in. So as I transitioned, I stepped off the stage as a dancer and stepped on the stage as an athlete. I wanted to be a bodybuilder. I wanted to, you know, have the most incredible body. But unfortunately, that had a lot to do with still controlling, you know, it was still controlling my food. I was not happy as a bodybuilder. You know, half the year I was fat and the other half I was starving. And I might have looked amazing to everybody else. And God, or I used to walk around the block at 9 o'clock at night because I didn't want to eat anything out of the cupboard.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a journey to everything, but I was used to that suffering pain. That for me was normal. To suffer was a normal thing. As a dancer, you suffer. That's what you do. You're hungry late days, your feet hurt, push through pain. That's what we know because that's all we knew. And I say now, as a trainer, we are the greatest professional athletes, yet the most unhealthy. And I want to change that. I want to be the change. So over the years, transitioning from, you know, then bodybuilding and then moving into CrossFit, where I realized that I wanted to fuel my performance. I started to fuel my performance, and the results from it was the most incredible body, 12 kilos heavier, yet I actually looked in the mirror naked and I was like, you are hot. I love you. That was 38 years it took me to stand in the mirror and actually say, I like and love every single inch of you, all of it. And you move the way I want you to move. You lift the weights I want you to lift. You are incredible. And you had a kid. That is so hard to come by as a dancer. You judge yourself and you starve yourself. You do not honor your body, yet you call yourself a professional dancer, a professional athlete. So here I am, and I stand here alone, ready to change the world with you guys, because I know that one step at a time and one dancer at a time that we can do this, and it will ripple across the world, and we will make, you will get to be passionate about your job and honor your body at the same time. Yeah. I mean, black coffee and lettuce leaves, cigarettes need to go.
Yeah, it's not a way to live. It's not. And I think, God, like, if I could just make the episode this last minute and a half, this should be rung through ballet schools across the world. And I could not love what you said anymore. I think it's so true. And I think we get so in our head and the ego of like, well, I'm a dancer, you know, I'm honoring my body. I am, you know, the peak physical form. I'm what marble statues are made of, but you're dead on. Is that actually, if you honored your body, you'd fuel it and you would love it and you would treat it well. And I think it's almost hard to hear, because I think every dancer has a very tainted and damaged, almost every dancer has a tainted, damaged relationship with food and nutrition and exercise. And it's so hard to unlearn those habits as well. And I, you know, personally, I had an eating disorder in my late teens, and the way I would talk to myself, the things I'd have in my head, just make me sad. And unfortunately, so much of that is the environment. You're kind of conditioned and you don't really know. And if you were to pop that bubble, you'd be like we've just said, no, none of this makes sense. Why do we think you can get through rehearsals off, you know, a cup of black coffee and a teaspoon of sugar? And I think it's so important that there's people like you around to encourage that change and make the difference and to help people. You know, think how many careers are cut short from injuries and, or, you know, eating disorders. It's painful. And I think there needs to be change. And I think it's so encouraging to hear people like you ready and raring to go to make a difference.
You know, it's not just our career that's cut short. You go home at night, and how does that affect your relationship? I mean, come on, let's be really open here. Sex with the lights on as a dancer in your younger age? No. Like, you don't like your body.
Now, no.
Turn the lights on. Where's the spotlight? You know, it's, I want you to love your body. And like you said too, you had an eating disorder towards in your late teens. So we need to start early. We need to educate the people. I have contacts in the dance school, so I'm going to start there in the colleges where you go. But like you said, we wanted to be thin before we did our audition for the college.
Yeah.
So how do you get thin? Okay, eat less. All right, calorie deficit. Yes, that's right. But we start going on nutrients as well. So we start losing nutrients. One of the biggest signs, which I'm doing so much research and so much work together with teams in London, is losing your cycle.
Yeah.
That is your body screaming, telling you, you're not healthy. I will stop you from having a child. I will stop any form of you having a child by stopping your period. And we as dancers were so happy that we didn't get our cycle. We didn't have to worry about it. We weren't going to be bloated. We were still going to stay thin because our period didn't come. Oh my God. And our teachers never educated us. No one ever knew, when are you getting your cycle? What phase are you in? You know, when I talk with you ladies, I'm like, what phase are you in? Okay, that's why you're feeling down. You need to eat some more omega-3. You need to have some B12. You need to boom, boom, boom. We need to be loud about our menstrual cycle is not 4 days of bleeding. Our menstrual cycle is 4 weeks every single week of the year. And it's powerful. And we want to fuel it. And we want to train with it. And we want to recover with it. But if we do not honor our body, it disappears.
It's painful, and I'm almost afraid to admit, but I was there, and I remember being like, oh, I haven't had my cycle this month, thinking it was a good thing, being like,
yes,
I'd under-eaten enough that my body doesn't want to function. Like, and it's almost laughable, but I'm hand on heart, it was a mindset. I was pleased.
I was like, I'm under 12% body fat.
You know, exactly. Look at the log, look at my like cycle tracker and be like, those days are going up. You know, we're at 60 days now. We're at this days now. Like, I mean, the unfortunate thing is those things do pay a toll, but later on in life, and you know, God, you know, let's hope everyone is fine. But unfortunately, you can cause irreversible damage done in your teens when you didn't have the information, and it's heartbreaking. It's so unfair, but it's a fact. And I think this information, this education is so, so vital. And I do think, not for all dancers, but particularly females. And yeah, you are definitely the change we need to see in the world.
But you know, I love what you just said then. It was like, you don't get your cycle, the irreversible damage. If somebody said to me back when I was 21, when all I wanted to do was be thin, that's all that mattered. How I got there didn't matter. It didn't matter. You know, I had the director of my college telling me that all I was not allowed to be seen eating on campus. And, you know, it's like, oh, there's a casting coming up. Everyone needs to lose a bit of weight. You know, what are you eating? Diet Coke for you. I mean, these are things that are ingrained in you. And then if someone said to me, you're not going to be able to have children, which was actually told to me, you're not going to be able to have children. I was like, I don't care. I don't want kids. All I wanted to do was be thin. Now, what if I said to you and turned that around and said, your bones will probably break, so you won't be able to dance. Oh,
then you care. Then you give a shit.
Then you care. So you're going to have brittle bones. You're going to get like tendonitis. You're going to get this, oh shit, okay, that's going to stop me dancing. Maybe that's when we need to change our lingo.
Yeah.
And be more effective in the sense that, like, I know that people need to be thin as a dancer. I know that. But I believe that you can do it in the right way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And get the nutrients in. We just need to be loud about it. And I'm going to be loud about it.
Good. I'll get your megaphone. And we've kind of talked about it already is, and you know, you've said, you know, you break your leg. Injuries are an enormous like issue, fear, you know, anxiety for dancers and athletes. With your own experience, and I guess particularly now when you're a kind of coach and you can train and see people go through them yourself and maybe learn from others' experience, what are your top tips for not only dealing with it in the now, but particularly if it has taken you off the stage or it has taken you out of the studio and you're having to have that time away from gaining, let's say, away from improving? What are kind of your tips mentally and also physically?
Okay. Mentally. So what now? What? Yeah. Make a plan. All right. You got 5 minutes to be emotional and then you got to be gangster. Suck it up. It's happened. You can't step back and change the past. You can't control the future. You can control what and how you approach and how you show up for yourself. Now, outsource. Get yourself a trainer that knows what they're doing. Get your nutrition on point, because your nutrition is going to aid in your recovery. So you get your nutrition plan on point. You get your training. What can I do? So if you're, for example, you've had a really bad injury and you're going to be having an operation, okay, what can I do from A to B, which is the operation, to be so prepared for the operation that the doctor's just going to love my body because my quad's strong. If you've just maybe done a knee or a dancer, let's say a dancer's ligament break on the side of your foot. What can I do so that when I go into the operating room, I'm as fit as I can be physically, so that when I have the operation and I go into rehab afterwards, it's my body's ready.
Yeah.
So you need to make a plan, because you're in a situation now. It's the same as rehearsal. You get a rehearsal plan because you're going to have opening night on this day. Okay. You get an injury plan because you need a rehab plan, because you're going to get back on stage. So really, 5 minutes to be emotional and then you need to be gangster. Outsource, get your shit in order, get a plan. When it comes, yeah, that's physically. I mean, mentally, it's going to be really tough and you're going to have days that really suck. You need to have the right people around you. You need to have the right people around you, and you need to know that you're going to be okay. And it's just a phase. And a lot of people have been injured. And just, if you know that you're doing everything that you can, then it's going to be okay. It's just where you're at. And you need to accept that. And just do some reset of your goals. But like I said before, and at the beginning of this podcast, you're a professional dancer, professional athlete. Start acting like one.
Yeah. No, it's really powerful. And I think you're right. It's giving yourself the same respect that you might think athletes deserve and we don't. And I think it is. It's being firm with yourself and reminding yourself of what you're worth, what the goal is out of this, and actually how you achieve it. It's almost the way you're saying it. It's almost removing the emotion a lot from it, isn't it? It's a problem that can be fixed. There's science involved. There's doctors involved. So, you know, make it less emotional. Make it what you are capable of doing and nothing that can kind of hurt your heart.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. I mean, your leg break, I mean, I can't, that is, must have been really hard, especially when, you know, at a young age, when you have your whole career in front of you. The resilience that you found there, how did you find it? And also, what gave you the hope and the motivation to get back out there when you kind of thought all was lost?
I lost everything. I had nothing, you know. It's like all of a sudden I had everything there in college, and then because I couldn't do what everyone else could do again, I was left. There was no one to talk to me about rehab. There was no one to talk to me about nutrition. I had no idea. I ended up going back home to my family, got the cast off, and the doctor looked at my leg and went, oh. I was like, what's wrong? And he's like, they said it wrong. So I got put in a cast again for another 9 weeks.
My goodness.
So I lost a lot of muscle tissue in my leg and everything. And it's still a little bit of a different shape now. I worked a lot to, you know, during my bodybuilding year, actually, to be to have the same shape on both sides, but that was due to the break. And I look back now and I was just like, I removed myself from everything that had to do with dance, everything. And all I had ever lived and breathed and slept and dreamt about was to be a dancer. And all of a sudden it was taken away from me. And so that's when I moved into the nightclub world and, you know, got my cast off, moved back to where the college was, but didn't go back to college. Everyone had graduated. And I just started working in the nightclubs and living a completely different life until I woke up and I was like, I'm a dancer. What am I doing? You know? And then I just was like, I'm the only person who can make this happen. And I need to get out of this environment. And that's what it comes down to a lot, is the environment that you know, the people who you surround yourself with, the environment that you create, is how you make your decisions. And that goes with everything. So I needed to remove myself from that particular environment that was very, very unhealthy for me physically, mentally, and emotionally, and put myself back around people that had the same visions and the same passions as me. And literally 2 hours after I landed in Cologne, I got my first job and I was surrounded by my people again.
Yeah, no, it is. And I think it's a lot to be, again, we've said how much grateful we are and what an honor it is, but it is true, that environment and the family that you build within the dance world and within the theater world is so strong, and it ties you for life. And again, it's such an honor to have kind of built those friendships in that way. And I think you just understand each other and you know each other in such a way, such a unique ways that other people couldn't experience. And it's such a lovely building block for gorgeous, beautiful friendships.
They're all still, like, I was just on FaceTime today with one of my friends, dancer, musical theater, 22 years, you know, the godfather of my son from dance college. It's my close, like, these guys and girls are in my life since college.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where we are. Some I haven't seen since college and we still write every second day.
Yeah.
I think it's because what you go through, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
The shit you put yourself through as a dancer, is, you know, you become very vulnerable and you share that with each other. And you are, you know, we're very, very touchy and emotional. We dance together and we feel each other. There is something very special about a relationship between dancers. I can't explain it.
No, and I don't think
we need to explain
it. I was about to say, I don't think we ever can and will, and that's so okay. No. That's so nice.
Yeah.
You talk about your bodybuilding days and like that level of, I mean, it's a catwalk. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I've never been to some of those bodybuilding events, but it's literally about the physicality. And, you know, you're wearing, I mean, a little bit less than what we wear at Pilates, but, you know, small items of clothing. And it's just,
I think it's not less.
Okay, fine, maybe about the same. And it's literally about the judgment. It's literally about being, you know, compared and looking at you. I can't imagine what that must be like. Did you find that difficult, again, coming from, you know, your dance background and having a bit of an issue with your diet and your exercise and rebuilding that relationship with it? How was it then to be back on the stage, back being judged?
Says you from a kick line. you know what? I stepped off thinking I stepped off the stage as a dancer and on as an athlete. I didn't. I went straight back into the same world of sick judgment and comparison. I was still stuck in the same world.
Okay.
I wanted to design my body with food. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to see how far I could go by setting a goal and doing it, knowing that it was going to be really hard. But it was this constant control of food and wanting to do the next one and wanting to do the next one. And when I realized that I was shaping my body in a strength way, and then I realized after my breakup with my partner, my ex-partner, the father of my son, all of a sudden I didn't want to compete anymore because I had found my inner strength. And I realized then that for so long I had been competing as a bodybuilder, putting muscle on the outside, thinking that that was making me strong. And then all of a sudden I stopped and I didn't compete for a year. I pulled out and then I realized, oh, actually, you know what? I am doing this for myself. I would like to do it again. But I came at it at a completely different angle, and it was the last time I competed. So had two quite big goals, but they were very kind of vain, you know, judgy goals. I mean, you standing up on a stage for people to judge you. And this time I approached it with, I have in my mind how I want to look. I don't care where I come. Sure, I want to win. I'm going to win. But at the end of the day, I had a particular body in mind. And when I achieved that, I was finished.
Yeah.
And I moved on from that phase in my life and found more of a balance with my life, honored my body a little bit more. And I wanted to be 12 months of the year. I wanted to be happy in my own skin. That was my goal.
Yeah. And I think, again, that experience of actually doing it for you and deciding it's not for anyone else, that is something that I think so many dancers can identify with. And it's not only as much as like dancing for yourself, but also your relationship with food and exercise. I think you can kind of have it in your mind that you're eating for the dream body so that you get the dream job, and you exercise because you need to be a certain body to get the job. And actually, exercise is for you. It's what you want to do. It's how you feel good. It releases endorphins. And I think it's kind of pivoting and switching that relationship to be like, I'm exercising and I'm dieting for a reason, you know, because I want to, you know, punish my body or be a certain way. And actually it's a celebration, and it's really kind of flipping the switch and being like, exercise because it makes you feel good and it makes you feel strong and it makes you feel well and healthy. And that's definitely something I experienced. I would just run at the end of like a school day. I'd been working from 8:30 till 6, and I'd go on a 5k run 3-4 times a week, and it was punishing myself, and it was just so toxic. And I think I was, you know, I similarly had that space where I was like, I need to rebuild this relationship and learn how to exercise to feel great, not to make myself feel bad. And once you get it back, it's so rewarding. And that's what I've loved so much about training with you, is it's like, yeah, I'm doing this for myself, to make myself feel good, make my joints feel great, and to be the best version I can of myself.
Absolutely. And I love that you on your own, you know, had the strength or the awareness to be able to realize that what you were doing, you know, wasn't right. And it did feel like a punishment, because, you know, in the A-team, in my online coaching, it's, you know, so many people come in and be like, I've got to lose weight, and I want to do this and I want to do that. And you just want to go. And I'm like, fitness is an honor. Training and moving is an honor when you don't have to. You move because you can, not because you have to. And fitness should be done for health reasons. It should be done because you honor your body. It should be done because it's healthy to do certain strength and conditioning things, because for your profession, you're going to strengthen your hips. You know, it should have a purpose behind it, rather than that purpose be to punish your body or to, you know, that's not showing up gracefully.
Yeah.
That's far from it. Yet that's all we know. It's like the simple thing of me saying to you, did you know that trees are blue? And you're like, what? Trees are green. Are you stupid? I'm like, no, they're actually blue. But you've been told they're green. It's so hard to get that back in your body as a dancer, because all you do is your dance teacher as a kid is a god. Like, I remember just thinking she was, and she still is for me, one of the greatest humans in the world. And then you go to dance college and it's just like, you just want to be these people. But how you get there from A to B is never shown to you. You just get there. So we are so mentally strong, which is actually beautiful. And we just apply it in the wrong way, because we will do what it takes, regardless what it does to our body, to get where we want to go. And that's, for me, not a professional athlete.
Yeah. And it is, it's that discipline and determination, you're right, that we all have, and pointed in the right direction can be so fruitful. So, like, you know, create the best things, and you can become the best version of yourself. But it's when it's pointed in the wrong direction and being conditioned to think it's wrong, that's where, like, the damage happens. That's where it all goes tits up.
Right. I mean, look at, for example, I go online and I look at, for example, supplement companies, right? And you've got, I'm looking for a particular endurance strength to work with you guys, actually. So when you have a really long rehearsal day or a big show, and you're in phase four of your cycle, I want there to be like a really good kind of intra workout drink. It's like a carbohydrate drink that just replenishes your body, because your recovery is very low, your hormones are very low. I tell you now, you will never see a picture of a dancer anywhere drinking an endurance drink or, you know, anything like this.
No, you're right.
Like, you know, but that comes down to us. That comes down to how we have been portrayed to the world, and how we portray and how we act. So how you act is how people perceive you. So you party all night, which we love to do, I know, and we get up and we rehearse all day. I've done it as well. And you rock up to that show and you whack on some extra makeup and you're good. We're not going to have a coach say, you know, how was your sleep last night? Or we got a show coming up. I want, you know, make sure that you have in the back of your head, all right, I got a show coming up, so I got to make sure that my carbohydrates are replenished. I have enough glycogen in my muscle, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So these are the things that, you know, we just need to kind of re-educate and bring in, so that we should shine. I mean, like I said, the greatest athletes, our mindset is incredible.
Yeah. It is,
and I think the world to see us for what we are.
And it's so difficult to change minds about it. I think you look at the advances in sports science with these, you know, Olympian athletes and stuff like that. God, like we just said, they have trainers on their back for everything. On every base, they have people asking them questions and tracking them, and they are taken so seriously like that. And they have ridiculous budgets, ridiculous, you know, gyms, and everything is thrown at them so that they can perform at their best. And it's such a shame that the sports science in dance is so, so far behind, that, like you've just said, you would never see a dancer having a protein shake or, you know, a BCAA drink. You would see them having an ibuprofen and a banana if you're lucky. And I think it's just that, like, dialogue and that just idea needs to change, and we need to be really seen as the athletes that we are, and not the athletes that go above and beyond, the athletes that smile whilst they're doing like the 100 meter sprint, the athletes that smile when their toes are falling apart. And I think that's, we just don't get the appreciation that we really deserve.
Yeah, I agree. No, but we'll get there one
exactly
step at a time. Yes.
And what do you believe are dancers' most common mistakes, and then to caveat that, how we can improve them?
Okay, most common mistakes are undernourishing the body.
Yeah.
So pushing through pain is a very, very common mistake. Not wanting to be, you know, that fear of missing out if you have an injury. So just pushing through pain, because it can come down to not being able to afford, you know, outside care. And unfortunately, that should come into play if you're in a job, in a contract. The recovery side of things needs to be a little bit bigger there. But I'm also working on that as well. So that becomes, you know, that should be in-house no matter what.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. It should be there, black and white. And then you know how to get there. So I think we undernourish. So there could be so much improvement there on getting a nutrition plan yourself. that works for you and your goals and your life. And of course, the moving through pain causes long-term, damage, and not just getting that particular area fixed, but going, okay, what can I do? Why did it happen?
Yeah.
It happened because either my core was too weak, or my glutes don't activate, or I could activate them more before this, or I don't know, whatever it is. And then go to your trainer, which everyone should have, and say, okay, this is from my physio. I want to prevent this happening again. These are the things I need to do. Could you, add this to my plan?
Yeah.
So I think we're very passive as dancers to things that happen, and then unfortunately we're not active enough afterwards. So I think for a dancer, we're very passive when things happen, and then not active enough to make a change. So what now? What?
Yeah, no, that's good advice. And I think you're right. It's being as active with the solution and the remedy as you were for avoiding the problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, this has been so great. And my last question to you is what would be your advice to your younger self?
Believe that I'm a professional athlete and back myself that I've become a professional dancer and I live from that. And that involves strength and conditioning, nutrition, recovery, and mindset. Mindset is very, very big, as we spoke at the beginning about rejection. How do we deal with that? How do we reset our goals? Yeah. What are our values? As long as they belong to us, be true to yourself. And we follow our dreams, that's there. But I think just honoring my body, oh my God, honoring my body more.
Yeah, that is a slogan in itself. We could all do with that kind of tattooed onto your forehead.
And what really got me, what you said earlier on, the things I used to say to my body, I would never even whisper to someone else.
So it's scary. And I think, I don't know whether we do it to be like, well, if I'm saying it, then I'm prepared in case anyone else says, like, if I'm thinking the worst thing about me, then everyone else will be a bit easier, which is just like the most twisted way to think, because like, you are your own best friend. You have to blow your own horn. You have to be your own cheerleader. So why tell yourself things that are counterproductive, that are going to put you down? Like, you are the shit. So be the shit and don't worry if someone else thinks that you're a bit crap. Like,
you know what? Because what other people think of you will not pay your bill. And what other people think of you is none of your business.